read the first chapter of Ephesians. Did anybody get a chance? I know we were tired last night. There's a good hand going up. There's more. There's more there. How good. I'm thinking that perhaps we need a volunteer. And you know how I find volunteers if we don't get a volunteer. We need a volunteer to read the first 14 verses of Ephesians for us. We're probably going to start at verse 3, and I'll explain a little bit about what we hope to do in the week that's before us. But someone, some brother, if you would, read verses 1 through 14.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Let me say, just at the beginning, we're going to build a house this week. We're going to lay a foundation. And we're going to put up framework. A house needs windows. A house needs a door. A house needs a roof. There's a whole lot of work that's going to be left for you to do. The benefit is going to come to you, dear young people, as you look, as you go back to your room, you study on your own these things that we're going to be going over. Now, I thought, what an appropriate year to take up the book of Ephesians. I want to tell you how important this book is. If you, as a brother or sister, try to maintain the principles that you learned this week, God has said you're going to need armor for the battle that is going to come your way. It's the only book in the New Testament that is of that character, that there's armor given at the end of this book for the young person that is leaving this conference this week, and he or she says, I want to live according to the truth of what I've learned in the book of Ephesians. Now, I wrote a little blurb on the introduction. I like to tie this with last year, because last year we saw a man in his need. We, most of us, come in the door of need. We realize we're sinners. We're lost. And that's the door that we come into. This man that we took up last year was a living man, walking in sin. And do you remember we did an MRI? How many of us remember that last year? We took him to the hospital. We put him in the machine and we did an MRI. And we found out that there was absolutely nothing in that man that was fit to be in the presence of God. His eyes, his lips, his ears, his tongue, everything about that man was bad. But that man was introduced to a Savior who had been to Calvary. And grace reached down, and that man was brought out of the pits, really from the pit of hell. His feet were set upon a rock. I remember Emil introduced us to the fact that he was given a bank account. He was bankrupt. He didn't have anything. There was money put in the bank for him, if we could say it that way. And that man went on his way rejoicing. I'm not introduced to a man in that sense in this book. I'm introduced to a man that has not got a movement towards God. He's dead. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. Sorry, I keep coughing. I'll just stop there and I'll give some others a chance. I know that we've all looked, some of us have been looking at for a summer, a little bit about Ephesians. Somebody else take a shot at it and help us to get started. I'm thinking primarily of starting from verse 3.
Tell me, the seven, who could tell me the seven wonders of the ancient world? Who could name them for me? Come on, you thought you have forgotten everything you have taken at school. There are two of them in Egypt, so come on, guys. Pyramid is one of them. The Hanging Gardens in Babylon, okay. Gotta move. Huh? No. What's that? That Colossus of Rhodes. Okay, very good. What's that? No? Man, who is your history teachers? No? No? The first, the lighthouse in Alexandria. Okay, we got the two in Egypt. We got the one in Babylon. We got the Colossus of Rhodes. What's that? Four? Come on. What's that? No. A statue of Zeus. Okay, a statue of Zeus. Man, nobody took history at all? No. The mausoleum? That's a great tomb. What's that? Are you awake? Okay. Go ahead. No. Okay, let's go over them very quickly. The Pyramid of Khufu, or the Pyramid in Egypt, the Great Pyramid in Egypt, that's one. The lighthouse in Alexandria in Egypt, that's two. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, that's three. The great statue of the god Zeus of the Greek, that's four. The Colossus of Rhodes, which was a big great statue crowned with the sun, having its feet on a canal in Greece and there where the ships go through it. How many so far? Five. And the mausoleum, which was a great tomb of one of the kings in Greece, at six. And